Folks, if you enjoy our guidance about the management trinity, getting to know your people, talking about performance, asking for more, pushing work down, and our tools are helpful, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The ideal way to learn about implementing them is to come to one of our effective manager conferences. One day, we cover all of the major topics. You practice feedback, you practice coaching, you practice delegation. I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, wow, I thought I understood the tools. And then when I had to practice, I realized I've taken it to another level. Come to the website, check out our conference schedule, see us all over the U.S. and in Europe and in Asia and in Australia. See you there.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, one-on-ones, part two. Here we go.
There's something else there that I think is really interesting. I'm going to say this for the first time. I've never said it before, but listening to you, I'm going to say it this way. Folks, you cannot multitask a great relationship. You cannot break up the investment you need to sit and listen to someone and really focus and pay attention on who they are. You can't break that up. You can't break the 30 minutes you spend with somebody up into 1 to 2 minute bits 15 times in a week. You can't slice it like you're time sharing on a computer. You can't multitask it and get the same results. It doesn't work. It does if you're a computer, but you're not. You're human. And to say, I'm not going to be doing this, but they'll be able to come and talk to me whenever they want. You're not building a relationship 2 minutes at a time. It doesn't happen. It is the nature of human existence. I wish it weren't true, right? But although being human is pretty wonderful, you can't do it. You can't slice it thin. And I say multitask simply because people think I can slice things infinitely thin, a la time sharing, and it'll be okay. You cannot multitask relationships. You can't do it. You can't say, I'll spend 2 minutes with you now and 2 minutes with you later, 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there, 2 minutes there. And then suddenly, magically, there'll be some goop that connects it all together. Nope. Doesn't work. Yeah. Human beings will resist it. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk further about scheduling and weekly, because scheduling and weekly bothers people. We understand that. We've tried to give you a sense of why scheduling and why weekly matter, but we need to address why it bothers you and talk about how to handle this as a meeting. Look, we have another cast where more guidance, which says one-on-ones are business meetings. Okay. They are meetings just like any other meeting. The things are going to happen. You're going to have to change them. They're going to get stepped on by your boss. We mentioned earlier, right of first refusal, that because it's on your calendar, it allows you to keep it far more often than you realize. But look, there are going to come situations where your one-on-one is going to be threatened in the sense that you're scheduled on Wednesday and maybe Thursday you're flying out and then suddenly your director, you can't meet on Wednesday. These things happen. If in fact it were just a run-of-the-mill meeting, you would say, okay, we'll get it next week. But that's not the case with one-on-ones. For one reason, it's not a run-of-the-mill meeting. We consider, Manager Tools recommends, that this be one of the most, if not the most important meeting you have every week. This is how you're going to manage. Believe it or not, you say to yourself, well, gosh, a weekly meeting for 10 people, that's a lot. It's 5 hours. Yes. And it will be 5 hours spent managing that will make you a better manager. It'll fundamentally transform your relationship with your directs, and you'll start getting more out of them, and you'll discover your life gets easier. That's the common comment we get from people once they start doing one-on-ones. Oh, I didn't really want to do it, but suddenly a month or two in, wow, things are way better.
Yeah. Every time. It's always amusing when people say, right? I can't believe it. It works.
Mark, you won't believe it. It works. I'm like, why wouldn't I believe it? I've been telling people this for 20 years. You really, seriously, it works. We wouldn't recommend it if it doesn't. But what happens is people are originally skeptical of the relationship piece, and then they're additionally skeptical of the time each week. What happens is at some point in the future, once you get over the Maguire hump of the horseman curve, you start craving them. Okay. But in the beginning, you're going to be, and then later after you've been doing them for a couple of years, you'll forget that one-on-ones are your go-to behavior in terms of your management. And so there'll be times when you'll be tempted to not have your one-on-one. Oh, everything's fine this week. Everything's okay. And we highly recommend against that. It's one of many meetings you have. And we think it's important to note, as all executives know, that not every meeting is equivalent, that not every meeting has the same value. This is something that junior people and younger or newer managers don't get, which is it's on my calendar and it's an obligation, and my calendar is just my obligations. That's not true. There are important obligations. There are mid-level obligations. There are things that if you miss, you couldn't care less about and you won't get in trouble for, and they don't deliver any value anyway, but you go because you're supposed to or because somebody invited you and you couldn't say no. One-on-ones are not like that. These are going to become, if you don't believe it already, the most important meeting you have every week with your team, even though they're broken down into individual meetings with individual team members. So we often tell people this is a rarely missed meeting. Okay, when your boss says, hey, I need you Tuesday at 2 o'clock, you say, sorry, I'm in a one-on-one. And again, that's right of first refusal, and we recommend you listen to that podcast. But in addition, if you go back and your boss says, okay, fine, but you have to come. I've given you the right of first refusal and I'm trumping you. That happens all the time. It's completely normal. By the way, we don't recommend you always use right of first refusal depending upon your analysis of the other meeting. I'm not talking about one-on-ones, but some other meeting you're in and a request from your boss. If your boss says, we need to talk about budget and budget deadline's getting close and you have a quarterly steering meeting for a group that you're not chairing, you could easily say, okay, I'll just send in regrets and say, I can't make it. That's not the way you do one-on-ones. One-on-ones fall very high on the priority list about meetings if you're going to do them. And by the way, this is because you want to send a message to your directs that you're important all the time. And my relationship with you is key to our effectiveness all the time. It's not just that I like you and want to coddle you and I don't want to hurt your feelings. It's that these meetings end up creating a better relationship, which produces better results. And as I said earlier, the relationship doesn't exist outside of your behavior. It doesn't. If you stop the behavior that creates the relationship will start to decay. So the meeting is important enough that when you get a challenge, you refuse initially, and then maybe you get rolled over. When you get rolled over, then you have to reschedule it. Okay. Now, what often happens, we'll give you a quick way of analyzing how important a meeting it is to you, a meeting is to you or anybody else. If a meeting is important, and there is a scheduling problem with the meeting, you will reschedule that meeting immediately. You won't send out a note and say, sorry, guys, we got to reschedule and I'll get back to you later. You won't. Meetings that are important, you don't want to lose the opportunity. You don't want to make it only harder a day later because people's calendars continue to fill up all the time. You schedule it right at that moment. You say, we've got a conflict. We've got to reschedule here a couple of times. Let's pick a time. Let's move it now. So if for some reason your one-on-one gets trumped, and there aren't a lot of things that ought to trump a one-on-one, another direct coming into your office and saying, I have to talk to you, is not a reason to trump a one-on-one with another direct, unless, of course, somebody says, look, there's arterial blood shooting out of my arm, in which case, okay, we have a Red Cross emergency. So when there's a conflict, you immediately reschedule. Now, that's the scheduling part, but we've also got to consider the weekly part. What that means is, if you have one-on-one on Tuesday and there's a conflict, you don't reschedule it for the following Monday. You only have a week in which to do it. Now, if you do your one-on-ones on Thursday, you might say, well, Mark, I do them on Thursday, and we've recommended in different guidance about scheduling guidance that maybe Thursday morning is okay, but getting to Thursday afternoon is tough, and Friday afternoon is impossible, because if you get a conflict, you may not have a lot of flexibility in terms of rescheduling that week. Now, there are two ways to handle it. Well, let me finish my thought, which is don't reschedule a one-on-one for sometime in the following week. To have no one-on-one in 1 week and then to have two the next week feels weird to the direct. People say, well, at times I feel like we don't have a lot to cover during the 30 minutes. That goes away, by the way. Trust me. The bigger problem in one-on-ones is people talking too much. But if you do two of them in a week, that's really going to be a problem for you. So we don't recommend you do that. The other thing we recommend is when you get a conflict, let's say the conflict happens on Monday, but the meeting's not till Wednesday. Schedule the one-on-one for Tuesday. Move it forward. There's no law that says you have to move a meeting back. None. So it's really important you get, this is a weekly meeting. It's rarely missed. I've missed maybe 3 or 5 in my entire career of doing them for 20 years. And it's simply a matter of saying, this is the most important meeting I have. I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to figure out how to make it happen. Now, some of you are going, well, gee, I travel a lot and I do my one-on-ones on Monday and I travel Tuesday through Friday. Okay. Don't worry. We'll talk at the end of this cast about having phone one-on-ones because they work as well too.
Good. Okay. So that talks about when I have them. Okay. What do I do during the one-on-ones? I meet for 30 minutes, but I suspect you have a little bit more guidance than that.
Yeah, we do. And in fact, what's interesting about it is a lot of people say they're doing one-on-ones. And when they meet us and we say, no, it's different than that, there's more structure to it, they are quite surprised that a change in the structure and hewing to that structure fundamentally changes and drastically improves the one-on-one.
Yeah, it's interesting because folks think that the purpose, say again, the purpose of the one-on-one is to develop a relationship. And folks sometimes think that developing a relationship implies there oughtn't be a structure about that. That seems a little...
Oh, that's right. You're right. You know? We've had that question before. Yeah, let's keep it free-flowing. Let's make it, why would I overlay a business structure on top of a relationship meeting, right? In other words, the relationships I have to call on in terms of how relationships work are my friends, and we just hang out, right? Let's just hang out, right? We're going to hang out, and we're going to chat a little bit. Well, the issue is, it is a relationship meeting, but this is a business relationship. It's a professional relationship. This relationship is being fostered in order to produce better business results. This is still a business meeting, and so we do have an agenda. And just so you know, the agenda is in the 30 minutes, 10 minutes for them, they go first, 10 minutes for you, and 10 minutes left to talk about the future. Now, I'm going to come back and explain each one of those in more detail, but I want to go back and finish the thought about how much this improves it. What happens is managers say, oh yeah, we're just chatting. What most managers don't realize is when you're chatting, you're doing most of the talking. Or in the event that someone is a little bit uncomfortable with you yet, they don't know if they're going to have to fill up the full 30 minutes. They don't think they can fill up the full 30 minutes. And so they shut down almost completely.
and so the boss does.
Yeah, the boss fills it up. And the boss talks for 20, 25 minutes. And folks, I'm just going to go back to my earlier comments about you have a big fat red sign on your forehead and you are the boss and they're not. And I'm telling you, your people don't think of you as a nice person. They don't. Okay. I know you are a nice person, but that doesn't mean your directs think of you as a nice person. I often joke with conference attendees that the group of people that dislike you the most in the world are the spouses of your directs. Because your directs, folks, they go home. And they, there are three choices, three types of days that your directs are going to have with you. Really good ones, normal ones, and really bad ones. Okay. I promise you, the ones that get told about are not the normal ones and probably not the really good ones. The ones that get told about, talked about, and the ones that get remembered and repeated are the really bad ones. Spouses absolutely are one or two standard deviations from the mean in terms of getting normal information about who you are as a manager, particularly if you're prone to raising your voice. And something else, if your direct took you to a party in their neighborhood, if they brought you to the neighborhood, they would not introduce you as, hey, this is a good friend of mine, Joe. They would say, this is my boss, Joe. The point of this is, I'm not saying you're not a good person. I'm saying to your directs, you're the boss first. They may also say, and he's a good guy, but you have to understand that first filter is the most important one. When someone introduces you to somebody else as their best friend or their friend, that means something. Their friend, and then they work together. Well, clearly, you guys are buddies at work. But if they say boss, everything else is trumped by that. And so when you say, we're going to have a relationship meeting, but then it's easy for you to talk and they're having trouble talking and you think you're supposed to be having this 30-minute meeting and you end up sucking up all the oxygen in the meeting, it's not a relationship meeting. It ceases to become one. In fact, they're probably going to say, I really don't like him and I don't want to have him anymore.
Exactly.
And the agenda was built based on many, many trials about what will work and what doesn't work. 10 minutes for them. I think we've talked about that before, that it comes first, because if you went first, folks, you would take 25 to 30 minutes. Now, you might say, no, really, I wouldn't. I'd stick to my 10 minutes. And you know what? I'm kidding a little bit. You may very well do that, and that would be a great thing. But the vast majority of managers don't. If the manager gets to go first, the manager takes up most of the time. Or after the manager gets done taking his 10 or 15 minutes, the direct feels that the manager has set the tone and the agenda for the meeting, and they're supposed to respond to what they just talked about in the next 15 minutes rather than what was on their agenda. You must allow the direct to go first. And again, 10 minutes for them, then 10 minutes for you, and then 10 minutes to talk about the future. One more thing about them going first. We have learned through trial and error that Monday one-on-ones are the most likely, even among managers who say, my directs definitely get to go first, Monday one-on-ones are the most likely one-on-ones to be hijacked by the boss. And it's sort of a benign hijacking, but nonetheless, it serves a purpose in terms of an example of what not to do. You sit down with your direct in a Monday one-on-one and you say, hey, good to see you. How was your weekend? And at that moment, a totally reasonable question you would ask a friend, a business associate, anybody, at that very moment, you have hijacked the one-on-one. You have taken it away from what the direct wanted to talk to you about.
Why is that?
I want you to talk to me first about what I want to know. And I know people are rolling their eyes right now, but folks, I promise you, it's taken us a long time to learn the extent of that sign, the big fat red sign on your forehead. Your direct will answer the question about the weekend, and you'll probably feel a little bit like you're going to want to say something about your weekend too. And now you're 3 to 4 minutes into the one-on-one. Heaven forbid you then enforce the 10-minute rule because you've just taken 30 to 40% of their time.
Right. And they wanted to talk to you about some work-related problem. They're having a problem with a peer of theirs or with somebody that you can help with, and you hijacked it. And now they don't get a chance to talk about what they want to talk about. Or it's less likely, put it that way.
Yeah. If they were teetering about whether or not to do it, that just sucked up the time that they would have had to actually get around to it. Yeah. Now, I know, folks, you say, God, that, come on, people are going to judge me. No, they're not going to judge you. We're suggesting this is a professional meeting. It's about your business relationship with your directs. And there is a certain professionalism and efficiency and effectiveness. And there are certain things, a certain discipline that we ought to apply in order to get the most out of the meeting that we can. If we simply say that all meetings are designed to get together and talk about things and make decisions, well, let's just sit down and talk. And heck, we don't need agendas. Heck, we don't need this. Let's just sit down and we'll just BS our way through the meeting. High eyes, those of you who are fans of our disc series, you love that. Like, let's just go sit down. We'll have beanbag chairs in the conference room. We'll just throw ideas around for half an hour. It'll be awesome. We'll all drink coffee and we'll go to Starbucks first and then we'll just hang out, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not a way to run a railroad.
Yeah. And even if you roll your eyes at professionalism and this is business related and all that, just forget all that. Do it this way just because it works better. It just works better. That's
Yeah. So we actually have a cast. We have specific guidance which says always start your one-on-ones with the same first question. For a long time, what I said was your agenda. Okay. And I think in your case, Mike, you do, how's it going? Right?
How's it going? That's right.
Yeah. Part of the reason you did that was because you used to hijack them. I think when I first coached you on this form of one-on-ones, you said, oh, I'm doing one-on-ones. Yeah. And then I counseled you that you weren't. Now, how did that actually work? What actually transpired?
I had a one-on-one with one of my directs and you said, yeah, well, let me attend. I said, okay, sure. And you came back and said, Mike, you spoke for 25 of the 30 minutes. and it was a series of, and I think you read back you do this quite a bit, just bugs the crap out of me, but here's specifically what you said, right? And it was just a series of, what about this? What about that? What about this? Fix that. What, right? And it's like, dude, if you think that's building a relationship, sorry, not so much.
Yeah, sorry.
And so I found that if I didn't ask the same question every single time, my tendency would be to ask something I'm thinking about. Like when I go into one-on-one, in my mind, there are certain things I want to know. even today.
Yeah.
There are certain things I want to know, and I have to discipline myself against that. And the way I do that is I make it easy. I just develop a habit of saying the same thing. Matter of fact, when Maggie comes into our one-on-ones and we start, she'll go, "How's it going? Well, let me tell you."
Because she knows what I'm going to say. That's easy, right? You know, it's interesting. I think personally, for us as professionals, for anyone as a professional, I think, folks, you have to admit, when you're working with your directs, your discipline has to wrestle with your role power on a regular basis. There are times when your role power helps you, and there are times when it doesn't. And you have to be disciplined about certain things. You don't go into meetings and not have agendas. Okay. You don't just say that deadline's important, but these other ones, if I miss some deadlines, people like me, it'll be okay. So we actually say, memorize your first question. Now you might be saying to yourself, no, again, Mark, Mike, again, you're taking this is not a relationship anymore. No, you're mistaken, folks. This is a business relationship, and there are certain things you can do discipline-wise, professionalism-wise, that increase the value of these precious 30 minutes, which you were complaining months ago you couldn't do. And one of the things is making sure, however you can, that they get their time to talk first. And Mike has the discipline to say, I ask the same question every time. I don't have to think about it. And by the way, if you're stressing about what to do in the first 30 seconds, it's easy. You don't think about what you do. You just do the same thing every time. Now, you might say, my directs will laugh at me. They say, he asks the same question every time. Yeah, he does. And you know what's funny is, many managers in the world do the same thing. They ask the same question every time of people about projects. They say, how's it going? How's the project going? Which is, yeah, you do it all the time too. Of course, that's a really dumb question to ask. But look, this is how professionals do things. They think about ways that things can be effective. They try them until they figure out what's most effective, and then they deliver on that. And the beauty of this is, if you're not worried about what question to ask, and you're turning it over to them, you're much more likely going to get the important things to them first. You're really going to be able to pay attention, because you're not going to be thinking about the answer to the question about the weekend or about Project X. If you hijack it with Project X questions, you know, I've come to, over the years of using Project X as an example, I've come to hate it. We're never going to name a Project X at Manager Tools. But you've got to learn to turn the meeting over to them. And by the way, in the beginning, a couple of people in your team will be surprised. They'll be quite surprised that you, okay, what's going on? And they'll actually probably cross their arms and go, what's going on here? Are you doing this with everybody? Are you really serious? And one more thing, I should have said this earlier in this cast, Mike, is that we have separate guidance called How to Roll Out the Trinity. And we talk about telling everyone in advance that you're going to do one-on-ones and going through the slides so that you can educate them in your staff meeting a couple of weeks before you do one-on-ones. There's a quote I mentioned many times, never introduce a managerial change without first introducing that managerial change. You're going to tell people, this is the agenda, 10, 10, 10. And I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to say, okay, how's it going? And you got the floor and you could talk about anything you want. Work, puppies, rainbows, family, weekend, politics, you know, whatever. Talk about whatever you want and I'll be happy to chat with you during that time. And frankly, folks, don't worry. There are very few people who will go longer than a month without end up coming back to work at some point, because they know it's a professional business relationship. Okay, so the agenda is 10, 10, 10. That is the agenda, okay? But let's remember something. The agenda always serves the purpose of the meeting, okay? It's never the other way around. The purpose is not built for the agenda. The agenda is a tactic to preserve and protect the strategy of building the relationship, building open, frequent communication about things that are important to the direct and to you. That's why it exists. That's the purpose, and the agenda serves it. Let's be clear here. We do not want, particularly in the beginning of a one-on-one, when you start your one-on-ones, to strictly enforce the agenda. Be careful here. If your directs were hesitant, or you were hesitant about starting one-on-ones and you started them, and at 10 minutes in, your direct is still going 900 miles an hour, just thrilled that his boss is listening to him about the problems he's facing, about the issues he's saying, about things you don't know that are going on in the team, whatever. And you cut them off at 10 minutes. You're putting the agenda above the purpose of the meeting. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be efficient in every one of our one-on-ones, because you can't be inefficient all the time and then say, but at some point I'm going to be efficient, because you're either efficient or you're not. That said, here's what we recommend about the far bigger problem than directs not talking. The bigger problem is directs talking too much. When you start your one-on-ones, it's entirely possible that when you turn it over to them, they're going to start talking. They feel like somebody's starting to let the air out of the balloon, and they just can't keep, they can't stop talking until the air is out of their balloon. If you've been working with them for years and you've never had any meeting like this. And by the way, if they start talking and they're not done at 30 minutes, it's because they've been wanting to tell you stuff and they don't think you want to listen. Okay. Now, some of you might say that's weird, but remember, they have to have a relationship with you as well as you having a relationship with them. So if your directs in the beginning are still talking at 10 minutes, let them continue. Because remember, Akio Morita, you can talk to them anytime you want. Okay. Let's go further. If they're still talking at 15 minutes, and we'll come back to the 15 minute concept here in a bit, let them. If they're still talking at 29 minutes, you might want to ask them to wrap up. But I would let them talk for 29 minutes for weeks. Weeks, I would. Because again, you can talk to them anytime you want. Now, I'm not suggesting that for the next 5 years, they get the full 30 minutes. Not so. Wrong. No way. No way. But we want to let them have their energy run its course. It's been my experience that some people can do it a month. A very few people can do 2 months. Okay. But let's talk about what happens when the direct, and I know most of you are worried, I'm afraid my directs won't say anything. That's not the bigger problem. The bigger problem is directs who say too much. We promise you, we've been doing this for years. The bigger problem is them talking too much. That said, we'll address the issue. We have another podcast, actually, guidance about the direct who doesn't want to play, but we'll talk about that briefly. But look, let them talk for the full 30 minutes and then say, wow, that was great. Unfortunately, we're out of time. You know, I'd like to keep it shorter, but you know, I understand you want to talk, and so it's okay, right? In this case, because of role power differential, because it's about the relationship, because they've got all this stuff to tell you, we allow the purpose of the meeting, relationship building, to trump the agenda. We never do it the other way around. Now, if they're still doing this after 4 one-on-ones, which would be about a month, if they're still doing it, then you could say, listen, we've been going 40 minutes or so because I've been kind of cutting you off at 30 minutes. I'd love it if we could start whittling it down to you only taking 20 of the minutes, right? Just see if they can't do that. And spend another month letting them struggle to get to 20 minutes. And what you do is 20 minutes in, you say, hey, we're at 20 minutes. I just want to let you know. Don't cut them off. Just say, we're at 20 minutes. And then if after another month, they have blown through the 20 minute reminder you've given them, say, okay, look, I am going to start asking you to stop. I'm not just going to tell you it's 20 minutes. I'm going to ask you to stop at 20 minutes just because this is a relationship. I've got some stuff on my agenda I want to cover. And so I'm going to ask you to stop at 20 minutes. You do that for about a month. They'll gradually get to 20 minutes. Yes, folks, this does happen with thousands of people who are starting one-on-ones all over the world every week. And then you could say, after they get to 20 minutes, say, look, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like us to get to 15 minutes. Give them another month to wrestle themselves into 15 minutes. And yeah, it will have probably taken 3 months to get them there, and that's okay. Now they're taking the first 15 minutes. Okay. And that's probably, they'll do that for a little while. And then gradually every once in a while, you'll have a time where they get to 10 minutes. The point of this is that we teach 10, 10, 10, 10 for them, 10 for you, 10 to talk about the future for two reasons. One, because managers told us years ago when they started following the format, they said two things. Mark, I'm so far down in the weeds now in terms of helping my team in a good way. They meant it in a good way. I really understand finally what's going on with my team, and I'm able to manage them more effectively because I know more of what's going on. They said, I feel like I don't get to have the conversations about the future that I like to have. It was funny. Some managers said to me, I don't get to have these conversations about the future that I used to have. Often that was from people whose direct said, we never talk about the future either. But the manager just recognizes they're further away from talking about the future when they get down into the weeds. And they feel like now that I'm in the weeds, I do know I need to have at least some idea about what my people want to be doing in the future. So we said, okay, we respect that. And by the way, this was when we were teaching 15-15. We originally taught 15 minutes for them to 15 minutes for you. And they said, I don't get the chance to talk about the future. Okay. And then the other thing we heard from a lot of managers is sometimes I finish early. What do I do? I said, well, it's like any other meeting. You finish early, you're done. Hey, we get 5 minutes back. Lucky us. And so we just married the two and we said, in your head, we want you to have an agenda of 10, 10, 10. Them, you, future. And 90%+ of the time, it's going to be 15 minutes for them and 15 minutes for you. But in those rare instances, one out of every 10 or once a quarter, you actually finish 5 minutes early. That's when you can talk about the future. Okay. Also, it'll normally be 15-15. And one of the things we say you should talk about the future about is coaching, the coaching you're going to do, which is a totally separate cast, folks. You can coach everybody in 2 to 3 to 4 minutes a week, frankly. And that's what you would do at the end of the one-on-one. You could do it from 30 minutes to 33 minutes, or you could take the last 2 minutes of your 15 minutes and ask about the coaching they're working on, if they haven't mentioned it already, which usually happens as well. So again, 10, 10, 10, keep that little 10-minute wedge of the future in your head and recognize that you only have to talk about it once every 10, 20 weeks. And normally they're going to be 15 minutes and 15 minutes. And by the way, folks, just to be clear, we came upon this agenda after years of practice and trial and error and so on. We tried longer meetings. We talked about those. We tried shorter meetings. Wow, impossible. Boy, that breaks really fast. It just doesn't work. And so we've settled on 30 minutes as something that managers can do and yet has a surprising amount of value.
Good. Anything else about the content of the one-on-ones?
Well, yeah, let's talk about the 10-minute bits. I think it's important. I've alluded to it, but I want to spend another minute, you know, okay, in that 10 minutes, folks, just want to highlight, they get to talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Right. The purpose of why we ask this question the same way every time, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to lead them down our path.
Yeah. By the way, you don't ask the question, give me a quick update on what you're working on. That is skewing. It is, right? You laugh, but that's what, look, people think, well, it's professional. Is it professional? Is it personal? And so they say, well, if this is going to be a 30-minute meeting with one of the reps, I want to know what they're working on. So they say, give me an update. And they say, hey, whatever you want to talk about, tell me about work. They don't even know. They literally don't even know that they're skewing the discussion. And so we probably should have finished the thought a minute ago when we said, hey, you need to make sure you memorize a question. And the question has to be directionally neutral. It can't say, you know, give me an update on X and then tell me what you want to talk about. It can't be, you know, what are you working on? That's a bad sign.
We'll get to what you want to talk about in a second. But just before we start, though, just tell me real quick, this Project X, real quick. Just give me a quick update on that.
Yeah.
You're done.
That's the Mike Ozan way. That was the Mike Ozan way, right?
Was it? Really? Why'd I do that?
Yeah. And dude, I've done it too. I've done it to Wendy before. I've said, yeah, before we start, just real quick, tell me, do we finish that thing over there? Yeah. Okay, great.
There you go.
She's like, shame, shame, shame. I'm like, yep, you got it. I'm human and we need discipline. Sometimes we straggle after ripe blackberries. Okay, it's important to note, folks, we talked earlier about fairness and how fairness is sometimes poorly applied to management. I am sure somebody will write me an email and say, well, if you ask the same question in the beginning, isn't that a form of being fair? Isn't that not suggesting you know about them? And wouldn't it be better to have the same first question for every individual? And it would be a different first question? And the answer to that is no. No, what you're doing is asking the most vague and benign question designed to send a clear message. I'm turning it over to you. Trust me, your directs will talk about what they want to talk about, and it will be different. And this is an important point. You want your one-on-ones to feel different with each of your directs because each of your directs is different. Think about your friends. Some of your friends are professionals who are, all they do is work. Other of your friends, they go to work, but really, they don't live to work. They work to live. And they do their 9 to 5, and they're good at their job, and they're doing well. They're in your social strata, and they just couldn't care less. They're daydreaming at work, and they're mailing it in, but they're smart, and so they're being effective. Right. Other people work at 10 o'clock at night. They're on email all the time. They're chained to their work. And neither one of those things is wrong. It's a choice. But those are your friends, and your friends are different.
This is an important point. This comes up often when we get asked about managing millennials. And we don't need to go down this long path, folks.
Please, can I? No, please.
What's really fundamental to manager tools, though, is that we manage individuals. We don't manage groups of folks. We have a relationship, individual relationships with each person on our team. And we don't manage our team like a bunch of women, if they all happen to be all women, or a bunch of men, or millennials, or people above the age of 50, or whatever. We treat and manage each person as an individual. And that is fundamental. And how do you do that? By having a relationship with each of those folks. Let me ask a question about this 10 minutes, though, because I think in our experience, it's clearly most of the time it's about work. It's about business. That's what folks, that's what your relationship is rooted in. And folks want to talk about business. But what if they want to, talk about their spouse having treated them poorly? Or maybe that's an extreme. Maybe they want to talk about their weekend, or they want to talk about puppies and rainbows, for God's sake.
Yeah. My personal favorites. Yeah.
Is that reasonable? Or is this, like you said, a business meeting and we ought to keep it focused on business and work?
Yeah. It's absolutely reasonable. What they want to talk about is important to them. Let's go back. You want trust. You want team. You want trust. If you want trust, you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to communicate frequently about things that are important to the other person. I'll tell you what, left to their own devices, what we discovered was the average manager ended up talking about what the manager wanted to talk about. And that actually, the 30 minutes the direct had to come to the one-on-one actually distanced the relationship, because it wasn't a relationship. It was the boss having more time to grill the direct about what the direct had or had not done. The direct didn't feel like they were in a better, more professional, more effective relationship. Okay. So no, it is whatever the direct wants to talk about. One of your directs is going to talk about puppies and rainbows. Another one of your directs is going to only want to talk about work. And in fact, years ago, we probably overemphasized the personal simply because a lot of the work we were doing were with technical managers and executives who didn't think personal stuff mattered. But the fact is, personal stuff matters. It does. And I'm the guy to learn that from, because I think it ought not to, but it does. And you ask the question, how's it going? Or what do you want to talk about? Or your agenda? Or, okay, the floor is yours. And if they want to talk about puppies, let them. For 10 or 15 minutes. Now, you might say to yourself, I would never do that. Well, good. That's fine for you. You're not them. It may very well be. I mean, I don't know that many people who tend to have, you know, 20 dogs in their house. But I've met some people at our conferences who have, I have 20 cats. Now, trust me, folks, that's not me. But you know what's funny is one of them said, I'm really surprised I mentioned that when I introduced myself to the group at the conference, because we keep our conferences small so everybody can, not because everybody can introduce themselves, but it does allow us to allow everyone to introduce themselves, but rather we keep them small so that we can monitor you practicing these behaviors at conferences. And they said, I didn't expect, because most people at work don't know that about me, because I know people think it's kind of weird that I have cats, but I do. I have 20 cats. This is something that's important to them and they're sharing it with you. Okay. Now, you might say, I really don't want to know that. Yeah, you do. You do want to know that. You want as full an understanding of what your directs are going through as possible. So yeah, Mike, if they want to talk personal stuff, if they want to talk football from the weekend, you're going to spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about football.
Oh, football will be okay.
Okay. What if it's hockey?
That's okay.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. So look, here's what's interesting. If you have somebody who works for you and you're not a hockey fan and they want to talk about hockey, look, when you start looking at the sports pages, you need to pay attention to hockey and you need to pay attention to their team. This is how we build relationships. And I have to tell you something. There are a lot of you who are listening right now who are recoiling a little bit and saying, wow. And you've been able to do that to some degree. You've been able to say, I'm going to diminish the things that my directs find interesting because I have role power. Well, either you want a professional relationship that's not built on your role power, that can overcome the role power, because role power is the least valuable of the three types of powers or influences in an organization, or you're going to really get to know the person. Now, we're not saying that you have to endorse everything they do, that you have to get into hockey or puppies or rainbows or cats or anything else. You don't. But you have to listen and you have to know. And you have to have a sense of when things are going well and when things are going poorly, and be able, insightful enough, to ask the right question when something isn't right, or when things are good, ask them what's going on. And because they will have shared with you, you'll be much better off in terms of being able to have a conversation. So all of your one-on-ones are going to be different every single time. Okay. A good example, my one-on-ones with Wendy, we always start with the list. And people go, well, what's the list? It's the list of things that I haven't done that Wendy's going to ping me about. Have you done this? What about that? Did you call that person's back? I'm waiting to hear from you on this. What about that? You didn't finish these show notes. What about this? What about that? And I have to tell you, it makes her feel fabulous that we get through the list. And I commit, if you bring up the list, I'm going to get through everything on the list. I joke that it's a bit like a Project Drumbeat meeting that you know, I promise, if you bring it up in the one-on-one, it's going to get solved. I'm going to say yes or no. I'm not going to be right all the time, or I may have to say, okay, tonight I'll do that. But if it comes up in the list every week, she feels like she's got a bucket. And if you've ever worked closely with somebody else and you have to keep track of stuff they've done and not done, and you carry around 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 things in the back of your head, maybe they're written down somewhere, and it's always nagging you, has she done it? Has she done it? Or has he done it? So on. Believe me, knowing every week that that list goes to zero is fabulous. Now, you might say, well, gee, that's not really building a relationship with Wendy. Oh, yes, it is. That's very important to Wendy. And by the way, sometimes the list is short and sometimes she talks about other things. Sometimes she says, I've got to tell you about my folks. Great. I happen to know her folks. I've met them. But okay. And to her, that's important. During my 10 or 15 minutes, we usually talk about career tools and about generally how the company's doing and what my schedule is and so on. And often, by the way, the list includes scheduling questions because Wendy handles my calendar. If nobody else's one-on-one may be that way. I didn't ask her to do that. That's what's important to her. Is that a work-related thing? Absolutely. Is it possible we'll hire somebody else and we'll just have chit-chat during the 15 minutes? Yep, won't bother me a bit. It's not what I would do. But we've got to learn that when it comes to relationships, if we're always applying the phrase, that's not what I would do, you're making it about you and not about a great relationship. How is it that you can have friends who are all different than you? It's because you trust them, you respect them, you love them. Okay? We recommend that you professionally love your directs in the sense that you're willing to listen to what's important to them.
All right, folks, that's it for part 2. We'll continue with part 3 next week. In the meantime, have a great one.